The Good Enough Mother. How many of you were nervous first mothers? Maybe the mothers out there who weren't nervous were too young to know better. I certainly was. I wasn't young, but didn't know I was nervous. So it leaked out as needing to be perfect. The perfect amount of nursing, the perfect amount of milk from each breast, the perfect amount of sleep, the perfect amount of heat in the room, the perfect color in the baby's crib, the perfect cotton sheets, no polyester for this kid, all organic food when she ate, the perfect PTA mom. Sound familiar? And I was 41 when I had my first, and I wouldn't drink coffee while nursing. Couldn't let my baby get the caffeine. Oh, no. Talk about tired. I can see why parents consider drugs. Just kidding. No drugs. How many mothers need to be the perfect mothers or the perfect fathers? I'm not leaving you out, dads. It's just that usually the mother is the one that takes care of the new infant. However, the fathers can fit the bill. A perfect mother is one that as soon as the baby cries, the mother is up and at the baby's side, taking care of any need the baby has. This is appropriate when the baby is an infant. What if I told you that you only had to be a good enough mother? Ah, what a relief that would be. But would you trust me? Would you believe me? Donald Winnicott was a pediatrician, psychiatrist, and psychoanalyst, and coined the term good enough mother to describe the type of mothering that children. This type of mothering begins with an almost complete adaptation to her infant's needs, and as time proceeds, the mother adapts less and less completely. In other words, the mother leaves a time lag between her child's demands and their satisfaction, and progressively increases that time lag. Doing this helps children develop a healthy sense of autonomy and independence. It also enables children to tolerate, rather than fear, feeling difficult feelings. When a mom tries to satisfy all of her child's needs immediately, she prevents her child from developing in healthy and important ways, in contrast to newborns and infants who need others to satisfy all of their needs as promptly as possible. When every need of a child is instantly met, that child fails to learn to wait, to tolerate frustration and continue trying even when something is hard to do, experience and survive difficult feelings, struggle to learn to do new things like tie a shoe or feed her or himself, recognize that she or he can be happy even when mommy is temporarily gone. This is not to suggest that a mom should not be sensitive if her child has experienced a period of separation anxiety. I had a patient come in whose 15-month-old son always wanted her to be next to her and cried when his mommy left. I'll call this patient Mary. Mary was at her wit's end because her child Sam would not let her cook, go to work part-time, or even leave the room. He would cry. She came to me because she felt she was not a good mom because Sam cried so much. She felt she was a failure because she could not keep Sam happy. She couldn't stand it if Sam was unhappy with her. Every time Sam showed signs of dissatisfaction, she jumped into action. Therein lies the problem. After discussing the difference between perfect and good enough, Mary began to make some changes. After several weeks of Sam getting used to these changes, Mary felt satisfied with herself as a mother, and Sam and she had fewer conflicts. Both were thriving. It just took Mary learning to tolerate Sam's frustration, anger, and tears. I wonder if I had applied what I knew, if my daughter would be more patient. My patients always think I would be the perfect parent. Yeah, I say, just like the cobbler's kids with no shoes. Just don't tell them I said that. Let them have their fantasy of me as the best parent. From KVMR, I'm Dr. Josie Gibb, LMFT.